Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors.
Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready.
The all-time greatest
producer
we've ever had, of course, Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome to a Friday edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I want to thank the 9 people I have in here right now across all platforms. What up, Twisted Movies? That seems like a new one to me. Twisted Movies, this is the first time you are checking out the live show. For the people that check out the audio version of the Tuttle Daily Podcast, if you ever want to check out the show live, kind of see how, what it's about and stuff, you can easily do that. I swear to God. I'm going to stop doing this. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Yeah, it really fucking pisses me off. And I don't know what to fucking do. Like, seriously, this is really fucking pissing me off. To the point where it's like, I don't even want to do this anymore. I'm doing the best that I can. Give me a second, guys. Can you guys hear me now? Let's see how that sounds. I don't know if it's the computer. I don't know if it's my internet connection. I really don't know what it is. And I'm getting to the point where it's just like, why even fucking bother? Why am I even bothering? So now let's see if this works.
Can you guys hear me now?
No, it's not. Yeah, I know. Give me a second, guys. Here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to do this. Let me see. I understand that, Bob D. Everybody, I understand that the audio is bad. I understand that the audio is bad. I know it sounds horrible. Do you really think that I like producing this type of content? So it's good now. Like, please help me understand what the fuck is going on. Like, I need an engineer. I don't even know. Like, if anybody knows any engineers or something like that, I will pay good money just to get this fucking headache done. Like, seriously. I don't know if you're being real, Twisted Movies, or just, yeah. Like, seriously. If any of you guys, like, have an opportunity, yeah, well, Vulture, okay, this would be like, well, not like, but kind of, that would be like you in Afghanistan and your fucking gun isn't working. I know that I'm not going to die because, well, I may, depending on how fucking pissed off I get, but this would be like, okay, I miss Ned. Look, I know he has Twitch. It's not a platform thing. It's what I've got going on. That's it. You know, I'm sick and tired, and this is no offense to you, Vulture. It's not. I don't want to piss you off or anything. I don't want to piss anybody off, but I'm tired of people telling me how I should feel. Like, you know, I had that problem today. I was in line at Winn-Dixie, and some guy, he was completely fucking rude to me. He and I hate when people tell me how I should feel. But people, see, that's what I don't get. It's like, why is it your business to tell me how I should feel? You're a stranger. And the reason why I was saying, come on, was because the woman that was up front, I wasn't talking about the cashier. I said, God damn, what the fuck's going on here? Because the woman up front wanted some stuff to be in bags, paper bags, double bags. And then some of the stuff she wanted in plastic bags and also in a paper bag as well, too. But I'm going to be a professional. I am. I don't think people, like, realize the shit that I'm going through right now. There is a lot of people going through some mess up stuff right now. So, I don't know. I'm sure I pissed Vulture off with that, too, and I apologize, but I don't know. I'm just, I don't know. Anyways, I got an interview coming up with Safine. She's an author. You know, I also had a problem today. Like, you know, this is how bad things are right now. Not just in my life. I'm just talking about everywhere else. That the Circle K and the Shell station here in Edgewater are right across the street from each other. And people can't be decent. People cannot be decent. It was $4.39 at the Circle K. It was $4.05 at the Shell station. I'm getting over to the Shell station because I was going to get it at the Circle K, but I'm like, fuck, I mean, 35 cents is worth it. So I went over there, and everybody wanted to be a dick there. Like, I pulled up to the pump because it was one person there, and I got behind that person. It was the way that I came in. I don't have voice up. I don't have voice up. Thank you for the reminder, Vulture. But no, I don't have voice up. But I pull up, and I didn't have the gas fill up thing on the right side. So I had to turn back around. Do you realize that somebody tried to, like, jump up in front of me? Somebody tried to just, like, cut me off. Voices up now, Vulture. And the guy wanted to yell at me, like, oh, you should have been on the fucking right side in the first place. And I'm like, am I really going to have to start carrying my concealed a little bit more than what I am right now? And I'm not saying that in a bad way, that I'm looking for a reason to use it. But I just feel like everybody is on edge right now. Everybody is on edge. Nobody can be cool. Nobody can be cool at all. And they were just being dicks. Everybody was being dicks. You know, like, it's just, I can just feel it coming. Not with me. I'm telling you, you're going to see a lot more stuff going on. And I'm not, you know, being a conservative or a liberal or anything like that. I'm not. I'm just saying, people, just be careful out there. Like, you really don't know what people are going through. And luckily, I was, you know, trying to be cool, calm, and collective. You know, if that would have been anybody else that the person cut off at the gas pump or wanted a bitch because I didn't have my gas filler-upper on the right side. And I know that's not what you're supposed to call a gas filler-upper. And then the guy telling me how I should feel. He told me to calm down. And he called me buddy, too. Like, have you guys ever realized, like, when another man calls you buddy? I advise not to do that. do not call, if you're a man and you're talking to another man and you're trying to talk sense into him, the last thing you want to do is say, buddy. Do not buddy somebody you don't know, because that automatically puts somebody in a defensive situation. So I'm just trying to help you out. Like, I don't want people to think like I'm cracking or anything, or I'm going to be like Michael Douglas and falling down. That's not what I'm going for, people. What I'm trying to say is that just have a little compassion. Just have a little bit of understanding. I know that I probably shouldn't get pissed off because the woman in front of me needed her groceries bagged up in a certain way. But guess what? Winn-Dixie doesn't even have baggers. They don't. So when you need your special request on how you need things packed, get that shit out of here. Seriously. Just throw everything in a plastic bag. Reuse them. They make great pickup things, like when you're walking your dog and stuff. Yeah. I got to start. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Stuck in Dion's Tub. Nice setup, Pat. You know, and I'm Mike. That's also another thing. Like, I always feel weird. Like, I was on my daily walk today, and this sign company right here in Edgewater, God, I forget their name. I tried to remember it, and I should have wrote it down. But there were two guys out in front, because I was out on my daily walk. I had to get a couple of things for my mom and stuff. And, you know, it's great that gas is so high. Well, no, it's not great. But what I'm trying to say, though, is just me walking everywhere now and having things in within walking distance is nice. It is. It's really, really nice. And, like, if I go to a store, I want to get coffee, guess what? I don't just hop in the car. I walk it. And that's really, really helped me out when it comes to getting in shape and stuff. And I was walking by, and two nice guys. What up, Biggie T? How are you? But I was walking by that business, and they were like, Tuttle! And, like, you would think, you would be like, oh, man, somebody knows me from the radio and stuff. And but sometimes it's like, where do they know me from? Do they know me from Ron and Fez? Do they know me from the Monsters? Any of the numerous shows that I worked with at Real Radio, Drew Garabo, Mike Calta, Bubba the Love Sponge. And don't take that because I mentioned Bubba last as, like, I put him at the bottom. No, that's not it. Tom Delaney coming in. Tom Delaney's been kind of nice as of late. Tom Delaney just donated $1. Thank you, Tom Delaney. Really appreciate that. But when they said, hey, Tuttle, it's like, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, is it somebody that hates me? Because I'm walking down a... That's not a, yeah, Mako 21 says hit the like button. That is true. It does help me out. You guys smash that like button. I know, probably. But, I mean, I worked with him, so, I mean, and even Cowhead Oh, I'll have to check that out. I got to stop reading messages and stuff. I'll stop that. But, no, I mean, I worked for both of them. Hell, Cowhead was even on Bubba's show. So I walked by this sign business, and they're out there smoking their cigarettes, and they call my name, and I turn around, and I'm just like, it's a goddamn crapshoot. It really is a crapshoot. Whenever I turn around and somebody, like, recognizes me. And usually a lot of people don't recognize me from visually, they recognize me from my voice. My voice is very recognizable. It's like very distinct. It's like a cat in heat getting done from behind by another male cat. Of course, everybody would assume that it's a male cat because male cat have penises that are barbed, and it's actually uncomfortable. I don't know why. If you believe in God, why God would do something as cruel as that to give a cat a barbed penis? Could you imagine if dudes, human beings, had barbed penises? Or if we were like dogs. Like, seriously. dogs and cats get the raw end of the deal when it comes to penises, because male cats' penises are barbed, and when a male dog has sex with a female dog, they get swelled up on the end and they get stuck. And once again, remember how I said hours of entertainment yesterday when I was like, I like to watch the turkey eat spaghetti with meat sauce. It was just entertaining. Yeah. When an old bitch would get in heat, and don't get mad at me, don't call women bitches, but that's what you call a female dog, a bitch. The male dog's penis will get stuck, and the old female dog is not cool about it. And guess what? She walks around, and the dude's penis, the male dog's penis is in the vagina of the female. And you know what the female does? She walks around like his penis isn't stuck in her. Could you imagine that? That if you're hooking up with a chick, even one better. What if you are cheating with a woman is cheating, and you know that, because some men are into that. Some men are into banging other women in their homes while their dude is away, because it's all about, you know, oh, there's a chance we could get caught. There's a chance that we could get caught. Could you imagine if human men, their penises got stuck in a chick that they were hooking up with? Could you imagine if the lady, the woman's old man comes home? How do you explain that? Seriously, I mean, how do you explain that? I mean, the only thing I could think of, if you were a woman and you didn't want to get caught by your old man that you were cheating, and the guy that you're cheating with, his penis is stuck, the only thing you could do is hop in the shower. But then, think about this. A lot of dudes will just hop right into the shower with their old lady when they get home. How uncomfortable would that be? And say the lady, you know, some of the guys want to take it another step further. They love to hook up with chicks that got old men. Not old men, but just their old man. And they've been to prison, like, for violent crimes, like armed robbery type shit. Because the more danger there is, the guy can get off quicker. I mean, there's just some guys that are into that type of stuff. They want the danger. They want the danger to, oh, man, I might get caught by a convict that did prison time. I mean, some guys might find that exciting. And you know how uncomfortable that would be? That's why there would be a lot of double homicides if that did happen, because it'd be easy to take out both of them when they're stuck together if they were like dogs. The other big cruel joke when it comes to animal penises is a pig, hogs, corkscrew. I'm telling you, look it up. Don't do it right now while you're watching this show, but look it up. Pigs, penis, corkscrew. And it just, hours of entertainment watching pigs have sex as well too. Yes, I had a very boring childhood. But back to what I was saying, I did an interview earlier thanks to my great producer, Vulture. Vulture hooked me up with a great interview with Safine. And I would like to get your feedback on this interview. Iggy T, do not, like, judge me. Wait, hold on, Iggy T. I just spent 5 minutes talking about guys that get off on the danger of being caught hooking up with another woman and stuff, and the chance of her convict boyfriend or husband coming home and getting caught and them being stuck together. Is that what you're saying ooh about, or are you saying ooh about the hog penis or the pig penis? You know, that's why one of the nicknames for a male's genitalia is a hog. Where do you think they get that from? It's called a hog. I'm probably way off on that one. But I did an interview with Safine. Safine wrote a book. I'm trying to figure out what it was about, but Safine was a very, very nice person, and I can't wait. Oh, no, 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 no. Please, please. Yeah, there we go. Ready? Here we go. My interview with Safine. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on.
And, French to American.
All right, hold on. All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. All right, guys, welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. By the way, the 3, 2, 1 is for me to go. Enjoy this interview with Safine. I want to get your feedback. 407-270-3044. Or email me, Tuttle@gmail.com.
Yes, another great interview my producer, Vulture, set up for me. On the line with me right now is Safine Francis. Safine, how are you, Safine?
I'm doing very well today. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. See, now I don't have all the books in the background. I need to get books in the background.
And I'm not saying I collect them like people collect stray dogs.
Now, are they nonfiction or are they like books to help you learn? I mean, just reading alone helps you learn and stuff.
Right. Well,
I mean, are they all like nonfiction type books or?
No, there's fiction and there's nonfiction. I even have a French to American dictionary, which I never used.
I'm just trying to like, but now Safine, I know that you're an author as well too. Like, have you ever talked to anybody like that you've talked to that had your book in the background? Because like, that's how you know you make it. Like if you're doing an interview and you could see, oh, there's my book in the background there. But Safine, talk to my audience a little bit about your book and any of the content you have out there on social media right now, website-wise. How can my audience find that?
Well, my website is SafineFrancis.com. And Safine Francis is the name of my Facebook handle. And you can go there. And so far, I don't have anything else going, just those two and doing podcasts.
Sorry, I had to jump in here for a minute. Look, it's great interview and stuff, but I did not ask her this, but she was doing a lot of allergies or all right, let's you decide, allergies or not allergies.
Podcasts with people. This is my fourth podcast.
Oh, no kidding. How's it been so far? Because like I'm sure you get a lot of people that are just idiots or amateurs and stuff, and they can become uncomfortable and stuff. Hell, I might be that person that I'm exactly talking about. But how has it been with all the interviews and stuff?
It's been good. I have to work on not saying so much.
Yeah.
But they've been, because this is, I mean, I'm a pretty introverted person. So talking to people is something I find difficult.
But Safine, I'm an introvert as well, too. Like I am so like messed up in the head. Like I've been in mental institutions one time for a long time, but I recently got off of all the psychotropic meds and all that stuff like that. So I kind of compare myself to that whole duck thing. Like I look calm, cool, and collective above the water, but like my feet are just like flailing around at 100 miles an hour. So it's kind of like I've gotten used to it from all my years of working in radio. And I do consider myself an introvert. Like I'm not good when it comes to personal social experiences itself. It's just like get out there and do it.
Yeah, you have to get out there and do it. And it's interesting that you mentioned mental illness, because I myself suffer from mental illness. I've been in and out of institutions since I was 14. Yeah. Struggled with drugs and alcohol, but
medicating because of any trauma in the past? Because
yes.
Now that was one of the reasons that I found out was that why I had, abuse problems, not me getting abused, but just abusing things. I have a very addictive personality. And it's like when I do stuff, my new thing is working out and walking and running and doing all that stuff. So I guess that's a good addiction to have. And I'm not like, I'm not like drinking or taking any pills that anybody hands me. And I'm off of all the psychotropic medication as well too. But yeah, it's weird how we just self-medicate because I feel like it's such a dark cloud here, especially here in America. It's like,
I know.
You're looked at like you have a weakness just because you suffer from some type of mental illness.
Mm-hmm. And that incorporates in my book, my main character's mother goes crazy. Mm-hmm. And she starts seeing things and she starts thinking to herself that she too is going crazy. And I've written it to where it deals a little bit with mental illness because I do suffer from it and I understand it. My mom was mentally ill for years before she got the right kind of medication and she was able to come out of it and be present. But she was a zombie for many years of my childhood.
Yeah. I mean, I was as well too. That's why I got off of, and look, like what I'm trying to say is I don't want anybody to take like what I'm saying as this is what you should do. Like it's worked for me getting off of, because I really do feel like, here in this country, our answer is just to throw prescription medications down the throat. Like it's just like, they don't want to deal with it. They just want to hear, take this. It'll help you out.
Yep. I agree. There's more to it than just the drugs. There's no wonder pill. If there was, I would take it. exactly. I do still take medication. I've gone off of it before and have gone off the deep end. So a couple of times. And so I have been more, I am on some antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication and medication to help me sleep because I don't sleep worth anything. But yeah, I mean, the first time I was hospitalized, I meant to put in the mental institution was when I was 14. I tried to commit suicide.
I did that too. I tried to like hang myself from a ceiling fan, but it ripped out of the roof. So I mean, you know, it was a good thing. I mean, that was one thing, you know, spending the 11 days in the hospital is what woke myself up to, all right, they're just throwing pills down your throat and stuff. And like I said, my path does not work for everybody. So please don't go off of any of your medication just because you hear me doing it. I don't think that.
No, I know of some people who've gone off their medication and have thrived just fine, but I've done it so many times that I know I don't do well without my medication and I'm not embarrassed about it. And I don't think your path is the wrong way either.
Those pills definitely put a little bit, I know men and women, you know, I'm not saying that one have to deal with more than the other, but you know, some of those things, you know, what I'm talking about don't work very well for men and certain areas and stuff. And that's one of the positives that I was able to see from it. And you know what, it really has done me no good because my personal like dating life has not been great as well either. Oh, somebody, I need to like close my email out there. But Savine, once again, if people want to check out the book and stuff before we get into some more of the questions and stuff, where can people find that at?
It's, you can get it on Barnes and Noble.
Mm-hmm.
They have to ship it to you. It's not in the stores yet. Amazon.com and Books a Million. I don't know how far Books a Million reaches across the United States, but that is on their website.
Is there any bookstores out anymore? It's like, I can't tell you the last time I've seen a bookstore.
I am in Nashville, Tennessee, and I only know of one Barnes and Noble, and it's about an hour away from me. Their Books a Million I've got up the street, not too far. But I plan on putting it in. My uncle owns a bookstore in Minnesota, which is where I'm from.
Minnesota, eh?
Yeah,
you betcha. I'm going to get that book.
Yeah, you betcha. and I'm planning to call my uncle and say, you know, will you put this on your table of new authors or whatever.
Yeah. If anybody's going to pay your book anywhere, it should be a family member. Like, I'm not, I mean, that those are the first person, the first people you hit up. And then you work from there, because you right. always got to ask your friends and family first. Like, I would do the same thing as well too. Hey man, you need to tell all your friends and family about my podcast and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, have you thought about, like, are you going to do the book on tape? And, like, if you do, like, would you be reading it yourself, or would you get somebody else? Like, if you were going to get somebody, one celebrity, to read your book.
Ewan McGregor.
You would. I mean, he's kind of busy right now with the Obi-Wan Kenobi series that's coming out that I'm extremely looking forward to. But he was also good in Trainspotting, you know. I mean,
Trainspotting is a favorite.
What's your favorite? Like, if you had to rank your top three Ewan McGregor movies, what would you, like, put out there?
Trainspotting. I loved the documentary, or whatever it was, where they drove their bikes across Europe. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't know he did a lot of wildlife documentaries as well, too. Like,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think he did some stuff for BBC. Like, I mean, he does have that voice, that little, like, Scottish, like, voice. I don't know. Is he Irish, Scottish? I think he's Scottish.
I think he's Scottish, but I'm not sure.
McGregor sounds like McGregor. McGregor is stepping up to the first tee. Got it. St. Andrews. But yeah, that's a good pick. Ewan McGregor.
Killing her.
If you could get him to do that, that right there would help the book go a long way as well, too.
It would. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm reaching for the stars there, but hey, you got to reach somewhere. I won't have my book on, it won't go on Audible until I...
Vulture, can we please, from now on, tell the guest, if they're going to be on, to turn their camera horizontally, not vertically? I probably should have told her that, but you know what? My bad.
I sell enough copies, and the name of my book is The Silent Prophecy, The Epic of Claire St. Clair, Book 1. It's going to be a trilogy. Oh, I'm already done with Book 2. It's at my editor's right now. Because I want to get that out as fast as possible, and I'm already halfway through book 3, so have I'm kind of
like I, how does that work? Like, you as the author, and then you have an editor. Like, I know that I would be completely pissed, like, if the editor was like trying to make a bunch of
stop changes calling me boss.
To myself and my work that I put out. Like,
you're
like,
the boss.
Do you just have to let go and kind of like feel like, all right, this is a different set of eyes that is on my material and they're only there to help? Or do you take offense, like, when they're wanting to change up a bunch?
I don't. If they want to change too much, I butted heads a couple in my first book. Some things that was suggested to take out, and I was like, no, we're leaving it in. I don't care.
And now, is it mostly grammar type stuff? Like, being a writer, I mean, but you also want to get a different set of ears on it. Like when I'm editing audio, like I want to have a different set of ears on it just to make sure I didn't miss anything. And is it mostly just like grammar, like apostrophes, or
most
like
how you would grammar. Change
different words?
Most of it's grammar. There have been some questions about this paragraph isn't written very clearly. You know, you need to go back and rewrite it and make it sound more smooth and clear, and it flows to let it flow with what's going on.
A lot of readers are dumb, and you got to just put it on a silver platter for them. I'm sorry, I'm not calling your readers dumb, but I'm just saying, like, come on, sometimes the reading level of some people, you got to make it readable for everybody.
And I do. I make my sister does not read. I mean, and when she does, she's a very slow reader. Mm. She read the book in 2 nights, and she was just like...
You know what? I'm going to put picture in picture here, because I now, like, going back, and I know that these interviews aren't live, but it's kind of like me watching, like I'm not comparing myself to a professional athlete and stuff, but this is kind of like me watching a game film, right? No, I'm this is like a quarterback going back and watching game film, and I'm now kicking myself in the ass that I did not ask her, like, yo, why doesn't your sister read? And then she was like, I mean, she reads, but she reads real slow. Like, I needed to find out. I did a horrible job as an interviewer by not asking her why her sister doesn't read. I did. I fumbled the ball on this one.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing. And, but that's my sister, you know, it's my sister. So of course she's going to, I mean, she had some critiques about it, but for the most.
You said your sister doesn't read. No, okay. I'm just saying, like, come on. Oh no, I went back. God damn it. I got to do a better job.
Cause I want to get that out as fast as possible.
I like feel like, all right, this is a different set of eyes, like Fuck. Grammar, like apostrophes.
To let it flow with what's going on.
A lot of readers
on.
Are dumb and you got to just put it on a silver platter for
Fuck. But that's my sister. You know, it's my sister. So.
All right, I got to do a better job at not accidentally hitting that. That's my bad. Like, I must sound like the biggest amateur in the world. As much as I mess up, as bad as the audio was at the beginning of the show, I really do apologize about this. And I'm trying to kind of like mystery science theater this. Give you what I was thinking of. And you know what? I really don't know what I obviously wasn't thinking about anything because I fucked up the replay here.
Oh, of course she's going to, I mean, she had some critiques about it, but for the most part, she was really thrilled with it. She's like, it's an easy read. And that's what I wanted.
Is that you know what? This is what I'm going to do from now on. I'm going to critique all my interviews while they're happening. Is that really what you want? Your sister, it does not read. Telling you that your book is an easy read. Look, Safine, great interview. I really appreciate that. But now that I'm critiquing it, and I probably should not have paused it right there with your mouth looking like that. But what I'm trying to say is that if your sister doesn't read, you don't want her coming back and saying, hey, this is a real easy read. I don't know.
I wanted to tell a good story that was an easy read where I didn't come across as this, like, just, I'm just so smart and beyond, you know, using big words and just to show off. It's like, I just wanted to tell the story.
So the main character, you know, a lot of authors put a little bit of their own personal experiences in some of the characters. Did you put any of yours into the main character, or is basically you, but a different name?
It's not me in a different name. She's different than me in a lot of ways, but I put a piece of myself in every character because there are a lot of characters to keep up with. Mm. And
so tell me about the main character of the book.
Maybe I should write a book because I got a lot of characters in my head. I'm just saying, maybe I could come out like J.K. Rowling with all these characters and stuff that are in my head. Maybe I can get them out. Maybe I could silence some of these characters in my head if I put pen to paper and kind of write this out. Twisted Movies, you know what? Here, I'm going to put that up there. Twisted Movie says, well, my definition of easy read is one that is hard to put down, not the subject matter is simple. Just as a hard read is one where you actually have to work to finish it. Thank you very much, Twisted Wave. I stand corrected. Like, I tried to dig on Sophia and Twisted Movies just, like, threw it right back in my face. I mean, he was kind of like being like Dikembe Mutombo and just swatting that easy bucket and throwing it right back in my face, wagging his fingers. That's what Twisted Movies just did to me.
What?
Tell me a little bit about the main character in the book for my audience.
Well, her name is Claire St. Clair, and she is in her 30s. She works as a museum curator at the Minneapolis allergies. Institute of Art. Mm-hmm. She has a slight deformity on her back because she was born with extra bones along her spine.
All right, so this is also where I messed up. This is where I was not being a great interviewer, and I'm sorry, Safine, here.
And the doctor's...
All right, I'm getting you to a better place where you don't have a round mouth there. But this is also where I messed up as an interviewer. I really should have asked her. I was like, okay, extra bones in your rib cage or your spine? Because I've heard of scoliosis, and that's curvature of the spine. I would think extra bones would be kind of like a, would make it like an X-Men or something. To have extra bones in your spine, you know, a lot of people complain about a weak back when you think a weak back would be like fewer bones in your back. Her main character has extra bones in her back. Like I said, that's some X-Men type shit.
Could never figure out what was wrong with her. And anytime they tried to remove them or whatever, she did, it was risking her life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to tell you what I was thinking when she said every time they cut some of the bones out of her back, they would grow back. Like the main character was like Wolverine, had regenerating powers and stuff. Every time they cut a bone out of her back, it grew back.
Her mother went crazy, like I said earlier, and she grew up with a father who blamed her for her mother going crazy. And
I mean, didn't she say that this character didn't have a lot of bad?
And she is very unsure of everything that she does. There's a lot of hesitation.
I mean, this is me. I mean, she sounds like she wrote a book about me.
In every move she makes. And she questions herself through the whole thing because she gets thrown into a world of supernatural where she comes across.
Oh, this is where I geek out.
Nephilim and demons and angels.
This almost reminds me of one of my favorite TV shows of all time was Supernatural that dealt with the supernatural world and stuff. Like
that was one of my favorite books or movie or series.
I love, see, now I never realized how I described the show. If anybody here says, hey, you know, I watch Supernatural and you ask, hey, what's it about? Just take it as Supernatural is... It describes the show. It's about Supernatural. Because if you hear how I just described it, oh yeah, my favorite show is Supernatural. It dealt with supernatural things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I already asked, like, if you were going to get somebody to read it, but, like, if this book ever got optioned for a movie, like, who could you see playing the St. Clair character?
Well, it's really odd. I just finished the show Yellowstone.
Yeah. Oh, would you get Beth? Beth?
I would love Beth, but she doesn't look like Claire. Well, who really hit me, and even though she's an Indian, I think she could pull
Jesse's
it off.
Casey's wife. Yeah.
Casey's wife.
Casey.
Yeah.
Casey, sorry. So Jesse, but Casey's wife. Yeah. Like, yeah. I could see that one.
She really has a lot of look to her that I see in Claire.
Is it because, see, if you saw Casey's wife, you would be like, oh man, she's a very frail woman, you know, very womanish like. But if you didn't know her, she's a very strong, powerful woman that is a big package in a small like wrapping.
Yes, because Claire is very short.
By the way, I'm wearing the same exact thing as I right now as I did for this interview. Do I look that bad? Like, seriously, maybe it's the camera. I don't know. Does my skin really look that bad?
She's 5'2", maybe 5 feet. I can't remember. But
So she's a spinner. You guys, is that a southern term for real? Like, hold on, let me put side to side here. No. Have you guys ever heard the term spinner? Seriously, is that a southern thing? Like, if you're with a very, like, short, petite woman, is, like, that just an American thing? I know I got a Canadian in here that's watching a show. Have you guys ever heard that term up in Canada, Iggy? Spinner? I'm just asking. Because maybe that's just a southern thing here in the United States as well, too. But a spinner is just like a short type girl that you could spin around on things, if you know what I'm talking about. God, I sound like a real sexual deviant tonight. The fuck? I'm talking about dog sex, pig sex. I'm talking about spinners and stuff. I'm not trying to shock jock you guys and stuff. It's just something that popped into my head. 5'2", you know, buck 20. That's a spinner. Definitely a spinner in my opinion.
She's got the dark hair and she comes across real frail. Because she's so small. She,
spinner.
She struggles a lot in the book because of what she's thrown into and accepting it and believing it to be real and understanding that her mom
telling
doesn't
you,
go crazy.
This character is a spinner.
And you find that out later. And that doesn't hurt. That's not a spoiler. That's not a spoiler.
No, but I could see, like, I'm just guessing because I haven't read it yet, but I read the synopsis and stuff. So, like, if she thinks all this stuff is going on and her mom's crazy, I can almost see where, like, she finds out from her own investigation. See, I'm just making a stab in the dark that she finds out that her mom really isn't crazy, right? Yeah. Like, see, I mean, I could see now I'm going to pick this up because...
See, now I probably just ruined the book for...
I'm hooked now. Like I think you need more like strong female heroines in literature.
I do too, and I think I believe.
All right. I want to thank Safine. Thank you, Safine, for coming on. Like I really, really, really appreciate it. But I just you know. I mean, it's my fault, Safine. I really, really should have ended the interview a little bit earlier than when I did. I apologize. But check out Safine's book. She told you at the beginning of the show. I'll post it on my social media as well, too, so people can check it out. Could the space race be coming back into play? Could old rivalries be renewed when it comes to the space race? Because, oh, not space race. We already won that. But, you know, Russia is threatening to abandon the American astronaut in the space station as sanctions threaten peace aboard the ISS. Seriously, how uncomfortable is that? You know, you got astronauts from other countries. They're all up in the ISS space station. And Russia invades Ukraine, and you got the one Russian. Maybe two Russians. I don't know. But how uncomfortable that is. It's not like the Russians can just step outside. I mean, they can step outside, and I don't know, you can't get fresh air or anything. But you could step outside if you wanted to. But now Russia's threatening to strand people. For the past 24 years, the U.S. and Russia have worked together to construct and maintain the International Space Station, where research has led to some of the most important discoveries of the 21st century. Now, 227 miles below the unrivaled laboratory, Russia has waged a war in Ukraine that's pitted the countries against the U.S. and its allies, leaving the future of the ISS in question. Now, just to let you know, the ISS is only, you know, funded for another couple of years. Let's be honest, the Russians can strand our American up there all they want to. Guess what? Old Elon's going to come out there and whip his dick and put it out on the table and be like, yo, Vlad, you're gonna strand our astronaut? Guess what? I got a rocket. I got rockets on rockets on rockets. I got them stacked up ready to go just in case something like this happened. You know what else Elon did when he whipped out his penis? He was like, look, I'm going to give the Ukrainians, I'm going to give Zelensky, I'm going to give all those guys free internet. I'm going to give them the Earthlink, SpaceLink, whatever it is, Starlink. I'm going to give them Starlink. You know, there's some Americans, I don't even know if Starlink's open to Americans, to the public yet. No, guess what? Ukrainians got space Starlink before Americans did. And you know what? Good for them. In the story, it says, when you're in space and you're flying around the Earth at 17,500 miles an hour, it's very hazardous environment. Cooperation is the most important thing, said former astronaut Scott Kelly. The ISS is divided into two sections, the Russian orbital segment operated by Russia and the United States orbital segment run by the U.S. American and Russian astronauts were the first step inside the ISS back in 1998. But guess what? I'm sure that we pay for most of it. From there, the partnership has continued. When the U.S. shuttle program ended in 2011, U.S. astronauts like Kathy Coleman relied exclusively on Russian rockets to get her on board the station. Okay, I can see that. But guess what? We got Elon now. We got some dude from South Africa coming in, showing us how the space program needs to be done. Coleman said, once aboard the craft, where you came from didn't matter, and it was all about how to work and live with one another. You know what we should do? As Americans, we should invade the Russian side of the ISS. Let's get it done. I mean, we're already running sanctions. So, I'm just saying. To remove astronauts, you could end this whole thing. Space is hard and space is dangerous. And in my experience with our Russian partners, it means sitting down, having a meal together. But, you know, floating meal, said Coleman. It's talking about what's ahead for you, what's hard for them, and how together we can get this accomplished. Look each other in the eye and realize that we're all about the same thing. Yeah, I mean, isn't that what we're kind of supposed to be here as human beings on planet Earth? But it's not how things work. Coleman said that the American astronauts and Russian cosmonauts would cooperate on everything from life or death missions to the mundane. Blah, 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 blah. So let's get to the part where, well, now that tweets, and you know what? Nothing's going to happen. They're not going to abandon Americans in space. It's just not going to happen. You know, one last thing before I go. You know, a lot of the misinformation that's been going on, and you know what? I don't even know if I should even talk about this because, but this is, once again, from, well, I don't know. It's from thedrive.com. Russia makes crazy claim that U.S. is training birds to spread Ukrainian bioweapon. Yeah, let's see about that. The Kremlin's invasion has now entered. You know what? I'm not talking about this. I'm not going to talk about this. I'm not going to get another strike against me. And I've already gotten one for misinformation. And I swore up and down that I wasn't going to talk about this stuff. I probably already got a little bit of a strike just from talking about the cosmonauts and stuff. Cosmonauts. All right, let me see here. Let me go to the show prep. Videos, news. There's got to be something I could talk about. Oh, yeah, this father is a little bit of a scumbag here.
This morning, jury selection is set to begin in the trial against a father accused of horrific crimes against his daughter's classmates.
The conduct alleged here is outrageous.
Prosecutors say in 2010, Lawrence Ray, who was just out of prison, moved into his daughter.
Did I talk about this? Yeah, I did talk about this. You know what? Motherfucker, I did talk about this. I got to start cleaning out my news folder here. You know one that I did not talk about? I'm such an amateur. Hey, it's Fivehead again. Yeah, I did. I know, Iggy T. I'm an idiot. Did I talk about the moon roof one, Iggy T? I'm sorry. I've had a lot of head injuries in my life.
All of a sudden, just this explosion above you. I'm thinking like the top of the car is coming down on you almost.
And look at this. Look at this guy. This is somebody you need to check his hard drive. But yeah, I did talk about that one. Did I talk about the moonroof thing, Iggy T? Yeah, I did. Why is Colton busting my balls? Yeah, you know, Colton, you know, you probably shouldn't talk. Couldn't even get a part for your bike. Could not even get a part for your bike. stripped it out because you don't know how to shift gears and stuff. My mom had already, like, bought all types of stuff for you to come over and stay. She kind of took that shit personally, Colton. She did. She's like, wait, you're telling me that he couldn't, your friend Colton, who likes bikes all the time, you're telling me he couldn't get a simple part, a part that he had used and abused, that he ripped the teeth out of it? He couldn't get a simple part like that? Yeah, Mom. No, my mom bought all this candy, bought all types of stuff for you, Colton, and I guess you just don't like us anymore. And I get it. That's fine. Really appreciate that. Now let me get back to my story. You're busting my balls and stuff, but I do love you too, even though I think you hate me.
It happened February 12th to Heath Martinson and his 83-year-old mother while driving home to Newport Richey along Highway 19 in his Honda Civic when the sun...
Wait a minute, I think I was on Highway 19 when I took Colton back because his bike broke down.
Roof just blew out.
I was in shock, actually. When I got home and found the expanse of this damage, I couldn't understand it.
Do you think it could...
By the way, don't own a Honda Civic. I mean, Honda Civics are cool, but do you really need a moonroof in it?
Cause someone to lose control?
Wait, does this guy got a receding hairline and a ponytail? Dude, could you get any more stereotypical of somebody that needs to have their hard drive checked?
Crash?
I think so. Mostly if it got in their eyes. I'm lucky I have glasses, but even something coming down could come right in between the glasses.
Nyam, 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 whatever. This is a dude just trying to get paid.
And probably, you know, get into your eyes.
A Honda spokesman tells Wesh 2 Investigates there has been no identified defect in the moonroof glass of the 2020.
I mean, Honda Civics are pretty cool. Like, I mean, I would love to have one. Guess what? A Honda Civic would, like, last you a really, really long time if you take care of it. Yeah, Colton brought up a great point. Flip the ponytail to the front, lay it over. Do not a comb over. Do a comb forward with the ponytail.
Civic, and certainly no service campaign or recall. The most likely cause is an object striking it, or even prior damage. Finally,
do kids still like to go to overpasses and throw stuff off the overpass? Iggy T, did you have a Honda Civic, or did you have a car with a moonroof on it? My last car did this. It was $5,000 to fix. Fuck that. Fuck that, Iggy T. There's no way that I would pay $5,000 to fix a moonroof. You know what I would do? I'd measure it out. I would cut a wood board, and I would put that shit on it right in the hole. Because you, Iggy T, did yours have that little, like, that thing that guy had? Oh, yeah. I mean, Iggy, that's how you roll. Driving around, well, BMW 3 Series, but I mean, that's still better than any car that I've ever owned before. Wait, it was the whole roof? Wait, the glass? No. Yeah, $5,000, I definitely would definitely not pay $5,000, especially if it has that thing. Eh.
Cracking as the vehicle body flexes.
Guess what? Like, I don't even under... I mean, convertibles are cool and stuff, but, like... Yeah, Colton, what would you do? Would you go, like, to a... You pull it? Would you get a new roof or would you pay $5,000 for it? No, Colton would go down to the You pull it. I'd be there. Wait, the whole roof was glass. Yeah, but, I mean, come on. I... Yeah, you got an X3. I mean, you would think, you know, BMW would not do something like that.
But what happened to Martinson is happening more often, especially with larger panoramic sunroofs. And with more than half of the...
That looked like a BMW right there. I think it did. It was that red car. That looks like a... Is that a BMW? It's definitely a BMW, I think. It's got to be.
Panoramic sunroofs, and with more than half of the new vehicles sold equipped with the popular
Iggy T, by the way, that's my producer and not me. No, I'm not. You guys better be respectful. Stop it.
Feature.
We heard a loud bang, and it sounded like a gunshot that went off.
Justin Risen told West 2 investigators in 2020 he nearly spun out on the turnpike when his BMW sunroof...
Okay, well, guess what? I'm being cool. I respect the listener. I don't want you guys... Just let you know, AET, they're telling me to run the numbers and stuff, and I'm not doing that to her, okay? So please stop. God damn.
Shatter.
You guys are just trying to run off listeners now.
From 1995 through 2017, there were more than 850 complaints to the government of exploding sunroofs in 200-plus models from 35 manufacturers.
Stop!
36 people were injured.
Safety groups say an often overlooked concern when sunroofs crack or shatter is the potential for ejection through the opening in a crash.
Wait, come on now. All right, for one, if you got your seatbelt on, you're not going to get ejected out of the top. Now people are just looking to get paid.
According to a 2019 report by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration,
roof injection mitigation, NHTSA,
between 2004 and 2017, 1,250 people died after being ejected.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Now, there are some other people, Iggy T, on other platforms and stuff that are, like, you know, asking me to ask you to run the numbers, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be respectful. But there are other people in the chat that's saying stuff like that on other platforms. So, you know what? I'm probably not going to, like, even read some of the stuff that they're saying. I do apologize. Just trying to be nice, trying to be upfront and respectful.
Did through open or closed sunroofs.
At some point, people are going to get hurt, and it's extremely dangerous when you're driving that happens.
Sheila Dunn is with the National Motorists Association. It's been pushing NHTSA to create new rules for manufacturers. For example, see how that windshield stays.
You just hit it with a sledgehammer.
Made together, it's made from laminated glass, not the tempered glass used in most sunroofs that can erupt into small pieces. The same glass used in...
By the way, I mean, you're going to have... I don't know. This sounds like a... You know what? I really can't bitch about this story because I'm talking about it.
Martinson's sunroof.
We certainly don't want anyone to die from a cracked roof or ejection from the roof.
NHTSA has done research to test laminated glass, showing in this video how it resists break.
Yeah, okay.
Breaking and crashes. And some automakers, with Hyundai producing the first model, are testing airbags that deploy over the sunroof in collisions. Heath tells me that technology may help, but he's not waiting for it.
Sorry, I'm texting with people, and I should not do that. Yeah, Colton is the man. He is. Anyways, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I really, really am. I want to thank everybody that joined the show tonight. I'm probably going to do one tomorrow because I really don't have a lot of stuff going on. I really don't. So, hope you guys have a great night. Hopefully you enjoyed tonight's show, and I will talk to you tomorrow.